The Lord says one of the greatest problems that I see in my children is that they allow the influence of their parents and others to remain a permanent impression on their lives, and they end up acting in ways similar to how their parents or grandparents or that favorite uncle or aunt or whoever else was very close to them as they were being raised. Many of my children do not realize this is happening, but a lot of the arrogance and pride and attitude, as you call it, that is demonstrated comes as a result of how you were trained as you were raised, what you observed. Many of my children would respond and say, "But I'm not like that." But I say, you are more like that than you know. If you humble yourself and come to me, I'll begin to show you how you are the very thing you say you're not. But I won't leave it at that. I will also show you how to bring about the change so that you can become what you think you already are. So, trust me in this, and just accept that as God, I know a lot more than you. And I say to you, follow up on this and do it. It may be a very harsh awakening for you. It may be a very difficult thing. But the end result, if you follow through with it, is that you will be conformed to me, not your past. Far too many of my children have been much too heavily influenced by the culture in which they were raised. If you belong to me and you are my child, your culture is not your earthly heritage, but your culture is now of my kingdom. And if you allow your earthly heritage culture to continue to dictate many of the decisions that you make, you're going to miss me. The challenge that you'll face is the criticism and the ostracization as your family comes against you, as they question you over why are you turning your back on who you are, when in reality you are embracing who you are. Remember, in my word I did say that in Christ there is no Jew, there is no Gentile. Do you understand that the word Gentile is a covering for every other known heritage on planet Earth other than Jew? You are to honor and respect your family. But when it comes to being bound by your cultural heritage, that is going to hold you back and keep you from going forward in my will for your life. It doesn't mean that you don't love me. I know you do. But as I sit on my throne, I see so many of the different people groups on earth, some of which have a very, very strong cultural heritage that is in actuality a type of bondage on the lives of people. I will teach you how to break free from it and how to live free from it. And I will also teach you how to share this freedom with others in your family. I will be there to help you with this. But it is something you must decide to do. Remember, you have been translated out of the power of darkness, out of this world, and into my glorious kingdom, says the Lord. Many in my church have read the book of Revelation and throughout the years have wondered how these things can be. So much that has been taught about that final 7-year period has been very, very wrong. There has been a tremendous amount of misunderstanding concerning those events. You can read what is recorded in my word and know what those words mean, but your understanding of the message can be wrong. If you think about what is written, then you will know that the present condition of the world makes it impossible for those things to happen. And you may ask, but there are terrible natural disasters taking place. The economy is in shambles and bad things are happening. The wars and the rumors of wars. And yes, you are right about all of that. However, for the things to happen in the book of Revelation, there has to be a major shift in the position of governments in this world. Watch in the days to come, and you are going to begin to see nations aligning with each other in a way that has never happened. When you see this, I say to you, take note, because that will be the strongest indicator thus far that the days are short. Pay close attention to what is happening. For the groundwork of these unholy alliances is being established even now, but you do not know of it, and it is not reported in your news media. But when these things begin to happen, you will hear of it. And do not think that as soon as you hear the first report, the end is upon you, for there is more to come. But I say unto you, things are going to happen in the political arena that people in this world never thought would happen. And yet it has to be this way in order for those things that I have shown you to come to pass. And know again that the horrible events in the book of Revelation are not my will, but they are a result of man rejecting me and my authority and choosing his own way. So like my son said, when you see these things come to pass, do not let your heart be troubled. For in me you will have peace through the final storms of history, says the Lord. Tonight is another lesson from the upper room. This one's going to center on personal prophecy. Many of you have received what you might call prophetic words over the years, where somebody, maybe the preacher has called you out, you know, the Lord says such and such, or maybe it's been in a prayer line, and during the prayer line, the Lord gives you a word. Well, we want to talk about seeing these personal prophecies come to pass, or in other words, see them manifest in your life. I've seen people over the years who have received personal prophecies, and yet it doesn't appear as though anything has happened with them. Well, there's a reason for that. And we're assuming that the prophecy truly came from God. I mean, anybody can make something up and make it sound like it's God. But I'd like you to start tonight in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. This is what the Holy Spirit wants us to see before we go any further in this. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12, we'll just start reading in verse 7. But the manifestation of the Spirit, meaning the Holy Spirit, is given to every man to profit withal. And what this means is what the Holy Spirit does, however he manifests the gifts of the Spirit, if you will, is for the benefit of the body of Christ. Now what this means is that personal prophecy, it is personal for you. But because you're a member of the body of Christ, ultimately, that prophecy should have or will have an impact on the body of Christ as well. As a prophecy comes to pass, because you're a member of the body of Christ, then that fulfillment is going to have an impact on others in the body of Christ. So the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal. For to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge by the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another the gifts of healing by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another divers kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. But all these worketh that one and the selfsame Spirit, dividing to every man severally as he will. Take a look at verse 8. For to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge by the same Spirit. And in verse 10, it talks about to another prophecy. Now the word of knowledge, word of wisdom, and prophecy, these three are going to somehow be involved in a personal word or a personal prophecy. When we talk about, I received a word from the Lord, this is what we're talking about. Some people have grossly mistaught this to the point that there are those in the body of Christ who believe they are called to the ministry of wisdom. Well, there is no such thing. Others believe that, you know, called to the ministry of knowledge, you know, or there's no such thing. There's the ministry of the prophet, but there's no such thing as the ministry of prophecy. You say, what's the difference? I have a teaching series entitled Prophets and Prophecy. In that series, what I do is show you from the Word of God what a genuine prophet is supposed to do, how a genuine prophet operates, and what genuine prophecy is all about. So for more in-depth detail on all of this, get that teaching series and listen to it. What we have then in verse 8, word of wisdom and word of knowledge. When I was raised in church, the particular denomination of which I was a part, we essentially taught word of wisdom, word of knowledge, that this wisdom and this knowledge was something that you gained by going to school. You could, you know, go to college or seminary, whatever, and the further along in school you went, then the more wisdom and the more knowledge that you would receive. That is impossible. Totally, completely impossible. You say, well, how do you figure that? Because this is a gift. A gift is something that is imparted from the Holy Spirit. It is not something that is imparted from a professor in a classroom. You cannot obtain this wisdom or this knowledge in a classroom, unless, of course, you're in a classroom and the Holy Ghost begins to move and there's a word of wisdom, word of knowledge. This is a gift. And because it is a gift, it is not something you can do anytime you want. And I've had, as you know, the Lord has used me a lot in words of prophecy, wisdom, knowledge, and so forth. And I've had people ask me, do you have a word for me? Has the Lord given you anything for me? And I understand what they're saying, but at the same time, you know, it's not like a light switch. You can just turn it on or turn it off. You know, yeah, thus saith the Lord. Go get your own word. You can't just do it like that. Now, there have been services here where we have had, where the Lord has moved on me, the Holy Spirit, in a supernatural way. And I knew that everyone coming up for the prayer line was going to receive a word. I knew that. Now, that wasn't me turning it on or turning it off. It was the Lord saying, there's something special I'm going to do tonight in this service. Well, you've been around long enough to know that doesn't happen all the time. And if anything, I'm hesitant to do this because I don't want to miss it. And it's possible. I don't care who you are. It's possible to miss it. So, you know, I don't think I ever have, but I will publicly admit, well, maybe I have somewhere along the line. I remember one time there was, I won't go into the details about this, but it was somebody who doesn't live around here, email stuff, and they weren't being as polite as they could. Let's just leave it like that. And so as I was replying, well, like about the fourth or fifth reply, I don't remember. This was ping-ponging back and forth. And I believe the Lord was giving me something for this person. So, you know, tippy-tap. I'm typing it out. You know, boom, enter and send it. And, well, they didn't like that one bit. No, you're wrong. That never, blah, blah. No, Well, I sent that, my word that, you know, that I had passed along to that person, I forwarded it to somebody else that knows this person. And I said, look, here's what's been going on. You tell me. What do you think? And they emailed back and said, sounds right on to me. So, anyway, you know, I can miss it. I really can. And that's why I'm hesitant to do these things. But what we're seeing here, this word of wisdom, this word of knowledge, and, you know, prophecy, this is what we would refer to as a word from the Lord. It would fit into these. And to understand the difference between word of wisdom, word of knowledge, and prophecy, again, get that teaching series. Now, there are three parts to personal prophecy. And I'm going to give those to you. Number one is the revelation. You say, well, what is the revelation? The revelation is when it is spoken. That's when this word is first revealed to you. Number one is the revelation. Number two is the interpretation. You say, well, what do you mean by the interpretation? You mean like tongues? No. The interpretation means you sit down and you ask God about it. If you receive a personal word from the Lord and you never ask God about it, you are missing God big time. You are assuming that you fully understand the totality of that word and what it means. Now, I've had people come to me over the years and they shared, well, you know, you gave me a word and it was such and such and thus. Do you think that it was meaning this and that? And if I know, then I'll share with them, well, yeah, this is, you know, how the Lord was impressing me about this. But if I don't know, I'll just tell them, I don't know. And, you know, if I do get an understanding, I'll tell you, but, you know, you need to keep praying about this. So the revelation is when it is first spoken forth. The interpretation is when you ask God about it and He begins to explain to you why this word was given. The purpose, meaning, etc. of the word, whatever questions you have about it, He'll begin to answer these questions. I mean, think about it. Why would He give you a word and not want you to understand it? So that's the second part. The third part to a personal prophecy is the application or the administration of that word. The application or the administration of that word. Now, without these three, it is essentially impossible to utilize any words you've received. And this is where a lot of people have missed it. And it's not that they've missed it on purpose, but they haven't understood that there is a part they have to play in this. And many times when people receive a personal word from the Lord, or personal prophecy, whichever you prefer, they seem to have this this mindset that, okay, the word came forth, hallelujah, praise God, now I'll wait for it to happen. And they just kind of leave it at that. Well, it doesn't work quite that way. I know years ago, Kathy and I had been married. Man, I don't remember. It wasn't a whole long time. And there was a lady and her husband who invited us over to their home for dinner. The lady and her husband were friends with my mom and dad. So we went over there, and just a beautiful couple. I mean, just wonderful people. And while we were over there, we had the meal and we were fellowshipping. And these were the kind of people that when you got around them, you're going to be talking about Jesus. You're going to be talking about the Word. And she gave me a prophecy. And what was interesting was the Lord had already given this to her. And I don't remember all of it, but part of it was the Lord says, you are a lighthouse to your community, and so on and so forth. And she actually gave me like a little framed picture of a lighthouse as she was reading this word over me. Now, that was 27 years ago, long time ago. Well, at the time, it's like, what in the world does that mean? A lighthouse? Does that mean I'm going to be like a successful businessman or something? Because at that time, you know, I had not at all acknowledged the call of God upon my life into ministry. Well, as I understand it now, what I should have done was go to God in prayer and ask Him, help me gain an interpretive understanding of this word. What are you telling me? A lighthouse. What does this mean? Help me understand that. Now, if I had approached that prophecy differently than the way I did, it's possible that God would have been able to move in my life a lot quicker than what He did relative to my ministry. Well, anyway, things have worked out the way they've worked out. And, you know, I praise God I am where I am as far as His work in my life is concerned. The Holy Spirit went on and He said, God will speak to those who are truly hungry regarding words, personal prophecies. But the goal is to grow and hear Him for yourself. And this is where I know for myself, again, you know, relating for me, I didn't really understand this. In the early years of our marriage, when I had come back to my relationship with the Lord, I didn't really understand the concept of pressing deeper into God to be able to hear Him for myself. I was just amazed at the preachers, you know, that would come in and preach in our church, and they could hear God, and the Lord has said thus and thus, and it's like, man, how do you hear God? That's just incredible. Well, I didn't know that one of the keys to being able to hearing God is to be praying in tongues, because that conditions your spirit to hear, recognize, and understand the voice of God as He speaks to you. Well, I really didn't understand about God speaking to me personally. And so, whenever we had a guest preacher come in, especially somebody who was known to be used of God in prophetic words to people, man, like everybody else, oh, I hope I get a word tonight. And then at the end, you know, they would preach. And then they start calling people out. You back there, and you ma'am, and sir, and you know, you two, are you married? Well, please stand. And word, prophecy, knowledge, wisdom, whatever. And you know, and everybody there is thinking, you know, am I next? And if the person would start looking over in our direction, we're like, you know, just kind of trying to be cool, but we almost want to raise our hand, pick me. Well, I didn't fully understand that I could get my own words from the Lord. What's been interesting is that over the years, there has been a real shift. Early in my life, I'm talking about early in our marriage, and in the very early years of seeking God for my ministry, I got a lot of words. I mean, a lot of words. Maybe 3-4 times. People, you know, pack your bags. You're going to be traveling. You're going to be... Well, at that time, I hadn't gone anywhere except, you know, maybe to a church across town or something like that. Well, that's changed. And I've gone places. Hallelujah. Not as much as some people, and that's okay. But there's been a shift in that over time. I've gone from, you know, getting a lot of words to basically getting no words. I'm talking about from preachers in the service. Used to, I look forward to the word time in the service, you know what I mean? Because I was hoping to get one. Now, I can honestly tell you, I sit there and there's nothing, I mean, sure, we all have this, you know, we need to get one, but that's not the highlight of the service for me. Maybe I'll get a word. Now, it's just a matter of sitting there listening to everybody else get words, and that's okay. Because I've learned I can get my own word from God. In fact, I have a sermon entitled, I Got a Word from the Lord. And it deals with that issue of getting your own words from the Lord. See, you can get to the place where God won't have to speak through a preacher, but he will speak directly to you, and you'll recognize his voice and you'll hear him. So when it comes to personal prophecy, we can throw that in as well. What I mean is, the words that you get from the Lord personally in your private time with Jesus, and the words that you receive from the Lord through another vessel, meaning a preacher or whoever it would be. And it doesn't have to be a preacher. Let me tell you something. There are a lot of preachers out there be happy to give you a word for an offering. In other words, you know, kind of pulling a Balaam thing here. Trust me. A person who is truly operating by the Spirit of God, being led by the Holy Spirit, is not going to charge you for a prophecy. Freely you have received, freely give it. So anybody who charges for prophecies, immediately, red lights, red flags, it's like, I don't know who you are, but if you start talking to me, I don't know that I'm going to receive a word of it. So prophecies don't have to come from preachers. They can come from other people as well. So one of the things the Lord shared with me, and I didn't write it down here, but I don't remember the exact words, but it was something to the effect of, don't dismiss the operation of the anointing regardless of what vessel it's coming through. Now that was the essence of the word that he gave me. So whether it's somebody else in the church or somebody from another church, whatever. In other words, this is one of the reasons why when you receive the word, the revelation part, it's important to go to step number two, that interpretation part, and pray and ask God, is this really from you? Because look, if somebody prophesies something to you that you like, you will automatically assume it's from God. What if it's not from God? Yay, you should marry him. Oh, glory. Well, that may not be God at all. So, again, the Holy Spirit said, God will speak to those who are truly hungry regarding words. That does not mean that if you're hungry for a word, that God's going to start giving you words in every service. What it means is if you're hungry for the Lord, not hungry for a word, hungry for the Lord, He'll accommodate you. Now, you're not going to get one every service, but whenever you need one, He'll give it to you. Well, I feel like I need one now. And based on what you think you need, this passage right here in 1 Corinthians 12, it's according to His will, not my want, His will. So, God will speak to those who are truly hungry regarding words, but the goal is to grow and hear Him for yourself. Prophetic words are not necessarily a guarantee of what will happen. They are more of a revelation of what the Father desires for your life. Now, I want to read that again because there's a great misunderstanding concerning personal prophecy. Prophetic words are not necessarily a guarantee of what will happen. They are more of a revelation of what the Father desires for your life. For example, those words that I had received from these different preachers about pack your bags, you know, you're going to be traveling and ministering and so forth. Well, if I had decided I didn't want to live for Jesus anymore and I go back into the bars and drunk and drugs and all this other stuff, do you think that's going to come to pass? Well, God's not going to send me out there when I'm acting like that. You know, it would not. In other words, those prophecies about pack your bags, God's going to send you forth, were based upon me continuing to pursue God. And this is where a lot of Christians have missed it concerning personal prophecy. They think it's just going to happen. I don't have to do anything about this. It's just going to take place. Well, not necessarily. But it's a revelation of what God desires to take place in your life. Look in 1 Corinthians chapter 4. 1 Corinthians chapter 4. In verse 1, it says, let a man so account of us as of the ministers of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. Moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. Well, let's just, you know, man, think in terms of, you know, a person, men or women. So he says, we are ministers of Christ But we're also stewards of the mysteries of God. Now, think with me here for a moment. If you receive a personal prophecy, that is something that is being said to you that you probably haven't heard before, right? Now, maybe God has been ministering to you along these lines as you've been praying, and the personal prophecy is a confirmation of what He's been speaking to you in your prayer time. But a personal prophecy is a revelation of the heart of God, your Father, to you. Now, once that's been revealed to you, it is, you didn't know it beforehand, well, now it's a mystery that has been revealed. And this is what Paul is talking about here, because in chapter 2, he makes reference to the fact that the mysteries of God have been revealed to us by His Spirit and so forth. You can go back and read 1 Corinthians chapter 2 later on. So he says, look, we're stewards of the mysteries of God, and it's required in stewards that a man be found faithful. When you have received a word from the Lord, this is something that God wants you to know. I mean, that's kind of a simple way to put it, but think about it. It's something you didn't know before, and God wanted you to know it, so He gave it to you through somebody. Well, the Holy Spirit said, once a prophecy has been spoken into your life, you become its steward. If you do nothing with a word, why should God give you another? What have you done with the words God has previously given to you? Now, some people, maybe you've never received a word. Well, that doesn't mean you're less of a Christian. What it means is God has either not seen fit to give you one, or the people He's moved on to try to give you a word haven't done what He's wanted them to do. But just because you've never received, there's some people, man, oh my goodness, they feel like they're nothing unless they've gotten a word from God. Unless they get called out and somebody, you know, speaks some sort of a prophecy into their life. They feel deficient or something. I mean, those aren't the words they use, but when you speak with them, you kind of pick this up. It's like, you know, I never gotten a word before. I never get called out. Okay, maybe that's a good thing. Maybe it's best you don't get called out, because the things God wants to say to you are best said in private. Maybe God is protecting you by not speaking publicly. And maybe, and again, I'm just throwing a bunch of maybes out. I'm not coming on to anybody here. Maybe God knows there's so much pride on the inside of you that if He gives you a word publicly, you'll let it become a puff-up thing in your life. You understand what I mean? I got a word from the Lord. Hallelujah. Look at me. Well, maybe there could be a number of reasons, but it just doesn't mean that you're less of a believer or that God's upset with you or anything like that. So, you know, don't think of that. But for those of you who have received words, what have you done with them? Now, first off, do you know where they are? Now, let me just fess up here. I do not have every word that has been spoken over me throughout the years. And that is my fault, because I did not place enough value on those words. For whatever reason, I didn't understand to. But I do not have all of the words spoken over me. Now, I have many of them, but I don't have all of them. What's important to do is to keep them in some kind of a notebook, or keep them on your computer or something, and to go back and look at them, read them again, because God will bring things out in those words to you, reaffirm things to you, reconfirm things to you when you go back over those. And I will admit that over the years, I have not been diligent to do that, and that's my fault. Well, you know, think of it. If the Lord has given you a word, that should be pretty important to us. And we should take it seriously. So, you know, he asked, what have you done with the words God has previously given to you? Now, let's say that tonight you're seeing things completely differently than you ever have before when it comes to personal prophecy. Well, what do you do? Do you have any of the words from the past? Do you have them on a cassette tape, on a CD? Do you have them? If you have them, dig them out, listen to them again, and if you don't have them in print form, either write them out or type them out. But get them in print form, not just in the audio recording form, but get them in print form as well. And then go over them, and again, apply number two, which is ask God for the interpretive understanding of this word that's been given to you. Well, the Holy Spirit continued and said, a prophecy is God sowing His word into your life. Now think about that. A prophecy is God sowing His word into your life. Remember what Jesus said, the sower sows the word? And we've always looked at that exclusively as the Bible. Well, it's not wrong to look at it that way. However, if you receive a prophetic word from the Lord through, you know, the pastor, the apostle, the whoever, your roommate, I don't know. If you receive a personal prophecy, then that is God sowing His word into your life. You are responsible to water that word so it can grow and be ready for harvesting. You are responsible for watering that word so it can grow and be ready for harvesting. You say, okay, well, how do I water the word? Well, let me give you an example. Turn to John chapter 7. John chapter 7. And look here at two verses, beginning in verse 38. He that believeth on me, Jesus is speaking, he that believeth on me, as the Scripture has said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. But this spake he of the Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive, for the Holy Ghost was not yet given, because that Jesus was not yet glorified. So we see the Holy Ghost is involved here in these rivers of living water. Now over in Romans chapter 8, look over there. Romans chapter 8, verse 26. Likewise the Spirit, meaning the Holy Spirit, also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. Now when you receive a personal prophecy from the Lord, that is the will of God being revealed to you. I mean, God sowing His word into your life. The Holy Spirit is involved in these rivers of living water. As I begin to pray in tongues, I'm watering this word that God has sown into my life. There are a lot of words that God has sown into people's lives. These are dormant seeds. Have you ever seen ground that looks like it was totally dead? Completely parched over, nothing, not even stubble, just dirt. Just plain old dirt. Dry, cracked, it's been like that for years. Well, then all of a sudden we get rain. And it's just a matter of time, stuff starts growing out of that dirt and nobody did anything. Well, where'd that come from? Dormant seed. Dormant seed. I don't know if you read about this, but a few years ago when they found one of the tombs of one of the pharaohs over in Africa, and many times what they did when they buried these pharaohs, they would put seed in the burial chamber of the pyramid so that when the pharaoh was in the afterlife, he could plant the seed and have something to eat, which is weird. But that's what they believed. Well, they go into one of these tombs, and It was a tomb that hadn't been disturbed by grave robbers, because so many of them had been broken into and things stolen. And they found jars that were sealed, and in the sealed jars was seed. Well, they planted some of the seed, and it grew. And so they had, you know, corn and I forget what all it was, growing from seed that was like 4,000 years old. That seed was there just waiting. Somebody took that seed and put it in that jar, sealed it up, and put it in that tomb for a dead man. Go figure. Well, then somebody comes along and discovers it 4,000 years later. And they say, wonder if this will grow after all these years. They plant it, and they get a crop. When God speaks His Word, it won't return void. But when it comes to us as a personal prophecy and He has sown it into our lives, we have a responsibility to water it, to nourish it. And we do that by, again, going over it, by looking at it, by praying over it, God, help me understand this more, and by praying in tongues, by praying in the Spirit. Because the Holy Spirit, remember, it was a gift of the Spirit that produced that prophetic word. So the Holy Spirit understands every aspect of that word. Therefore, as I'm praying in tongues, let's just use the imagery, I'm releasing rivers of living water upon the living word given to me prophetically so that it can begin to take root, it can begin to develop, it can begin to grow, and eventually the purpose for that word can be harvested into my life. So, a prophecy is God sowing His Word into your life. You are responsible to water that Word so it can grow and be ready for harvesting. Every personal Word given to you has come straight from your Father. Therefore, He considers it critical to your spiritual development. Why would He give you a Word that wasn't important? One thing I've learned about God, one of the many things, God does not waste time. If He does something, there is a divine, eternal kingdom purpose for it. Therefore, let me just say it like this. If He steps out of eternity into the portals of time to deliver a word to you, don't you think that's critical? Well, I never thought about it like that before. Well, you know what? Years ago, neither did I. So I'm right there with you. But this is what God's wanting us to understand about seeing personal prophecy manifest in our lives. So every personal word given to you has come straight from your Father. Therefore, He considers it critical to your spiritual development. All personal prophecy has something to do with God's complete will for your life and ministry. Now listen to this part. This is interesting. His plan is never static. It is always progressive and in motion by His spiritual energy. You make progress in the Spirit before you make progress in the natural. God has already planned and prepared His blessings for each level. They are waiting for you. Therefore, personal prophecy is directly connected to God's promises and blessings for our lives. Why would they not be? He blesses obedience. So if I take this personal prophecy and I act upon it accordingly, and it doesn't mean that I take the prophecy and say, okay, I've got to make this come to pass. No. You didn't know what the prophecy was to begin with. You didn't know what the word was to start with. You cannot make it come to pass. If I had received that, when I did receive that, pack your bags, you're going to, if I had, you know, grabbed Kathy by the hand and run down to the airport and bought tickets to someplace, you know, so I need a ticket. Well, where do you need a ticket? I don't care, just somewhere. I got to travel and preach the gospel. They'd have thought I was crazy. And God would have agreed. Yes, this is weird. No, I was responsible for going back and looking like I'm doing nothing. Sitting down and praying it out so it can manifest later in my life. according to God's will and according to God's timing. So all personal prophecy has something to do with God's complete will for your life and ministry. Why would He give me a personal prophecy about your complete will? You understand what I mean? So whatever the prophecy is, doesn't matter what it is. If the Lord says, I say unto you, my child, I would have you this entire summer cut your neighbor's grass. And you think, well, that's the dopiest thing I've ever heard in my... I have trouble getting my own grass cut. And like the Lord is saying, that is right. And once you have to cut 2 yards, you're going to be grateful you only have one to cut and will never complain anymore. Now, I'm not prophesying that you're supposed to cut your neighbor's grass, but I might work one up. You're supposed to come cut mine. I'm joking, okay? When you receive a word from the Lord, even though it doesn't seem like it, it has something to do with His plan for your life, His will. Regardless of what that is, you know, your ministry, everything, somehow it fits in. You don't understand it at the time. You just know, I've received this word. Well, obedience is the key. You know, Joyce Meyer, this is a great example. The Lord just reminded me of it. Joyce Meyer knew she had a call of God upon her life, but she just couldn't figure out, well, what's the problem? She had this thing on the inside, felt like something's holding me back. Something's not working out. Something's just not going right. I don't know. Oh, God, what is it? Show me, show me, show me. You know, she's praying. She's serious. Wasn't complaining. Just like, God, come on. Well, one day she was shopping at Walmart, and the Lord said, take the cart and put it back. And because she never did that. She just unloaded the stuff from the cart and leave it there. And she said, what? I'm not doing that. You know, I'm going to take the cart and put it back. God, are you serious? Take the cart and put it back. Well, what on God's green earth does take the cart and put it back have to do with preaching to the world? It's obedience. It's about developing character. And I'm not saying anything other than what she said. I'm just saying it in my own words. There was a lack of character in her relative to putting the carts back. And I'm not saying this to embarrass her. She's talked about this publicly. So she put the cart back, and it was like God began to show her why that was so critical. Well, she's put the carts back ever since. That simple act represented a step into a breakthrough in her ministry. Put the cart back. This is why you can't dismiss anything the Lord gives you, no matter how simple it is. But you better be sure God has spoken. When He said put the cart back, He did not mean ram it into the side of the car next to you. You understand what I'm saying? Remember earlier in this message I said, somebody can speak to us. And it sound good, but it's not God. That somebody could also be Satan. Because if you're looking, let me tell you what happened. This word to the wise. As you begin to press into God and you begin to pray more and pray more and pray more, do you remember what happened with Paul, the Apostle Paul? He's praying, praying, seeking God, praying, seeking God. And then one day, man, caught up into the third heaven. Personal audience with Jesus Himself. And the Lord begins to give him instruction and teaching and so forth. And Paul comes back, and a lot of these things he received, you know, he's teaching and recorded here in Scripture and so forth. That caught Satan's attention. And Satan sent a what? Messenger. To Paul. Why? To get him off track. To try and stop him. As you are pressing deeper into God, I guarantee you this. There's going to be a devil come along in your life and speak into your life and do his best to mimic the voice of God. Kenneth Copeland shared a story one time. He was outside. I forget where he was, street corner or someplace, but I don't know what he was doing. But and he's been praying and so forth, and he heard his voice. And I don't remember the specific city, so I'll just make up the name of a city. And the voice said, and he said, you know, the Lord spoke up and told him, said, I want you to go to, you know, New Orleans, and I want you to preach down there. And I'm going to promote you and your ministry. And I, you know, Brother Copeland's got this on record. You could, you know, if you find it, you can listen to it. And at first he's thinking, man, praise God, go to New Orleans and serve the Lord. He's going to promote my ministry and promote me and so forth. And it's like he stopped. He said, now, wait a second. And in his mind, the wheels began to turn. And he thought, but this ministry is not about me. This ministry is about Jesus. And so he started praying. He said, Lord, I'll do this. But you're going to have to help me out here and clarify why in the world you're wanting me to go someplace so you can promote me. It's all about promoting Jesus. And God spoke up and said, that wasn't me that spoke. That was the devil mimicking my voice. And he said, I'm going to let you hear it again, so you can more clearly differentiate between him and me. And he said, the Lord is like replayed it for him again. And he said, I could hear the difference. It was very subtle, but I could hear the difference between the lying voice and the voice of the Lord. If he had gone to that city based upon what he thought he heard God say, if he had gone to that city, it would have set him off so bad in his ministry and what God had called him to do. And there are too many Christians, they believe they've heard from God, and man, it's like the Kentucky Derby, the horse out of the chute, and there they go. And they don't spend enough time. Listen, anytime God tells you to do something that seems, first off, if you get a personal prophecy, it doggone well better line up with Scripture. If somebody had come to the Apostle Paul and said, yea, thus saith the Lord, thou shalt go to Bithynia and preach the gospel to the heathen, save many. Well, he wanted to go to Bithynia anyhow. Remember that in Acts? But the Holy Ghost spoke up and said, yea, thou shalt not go to Bithynia or to Asia. And then he had the vision to go to Macedonia. I'm telling you guys, I've seen Christians, they thought for sure they heard a word from the Lord. Go here and just go. Well, why is God sending you? Don't know. Just go. Well, if you hear God speak or think you've heard Him speak, you better call a personal time out and plant yourself somewhere and pray this thing out and make sure you've heard God, because the devil is a great mimicker. And if he thinks you're eager to serve God, he'll be more than happy to give you a false word. Now listen to this. The Holy Spirit said, personal prophecy is not Scripture, but it has come from the same source as Scripture. I'm going to read that again, personal prophecy is not Scripture, but it has come from the same source as Scripture. All Scripture has been given by inspiration of God. The word inspiration means divinely breathed forth by God's Holy Spirit. A personal prophecy is an operation of a gift of the Holy Spirit. It comes from the same source. If it comes from the same source, it is as divine, holy, and supernatural as Scripture itself. But it is not Scripture. All personal prophecy, or personal prophecy is not Scripture, but it has come from the same source as Scripture. It is not meant to replace Scripture, but it is a type of, quote, personal Bible of your Father's specific will for your life. If He has thought enough of the prophecy to instruct me to speak it directly to you, then He wants you to take it seriously. Now see, there are a lot of Christians that would really pitch a fit over this. How can you say that personal prophecy is the same thing as the Bible? I don't believe that's what the Holy Spirit just said. He said it came from the same source. And he said it's a type of personal Bible. Look, there's no book of Barry in Scripture. There's no book of Kathy. Now, if your name is Mark, you're in luck. Hallelujah. You understand what I'm getting at? We don't have a personal book in the Bible. But when God speaks to us and He gives us, through an operation of the Holy Spirit, the gift of the Spirit, when He gives us personal prophecy, number one, those prophecies will not go outside the boundary of what God's Word has said. I mean, I've heard crazy things. Crazy things, man. Nuts, oh, crazy. You got to be insane things. God told me to divorce my husband. He did not. Was he beating you? No. Was he cheating on you? No. Well, was he a drunken bum? No. Well, was he caught up in internet pornography? No. Well, then why did God tell you to divorce him?
So I could fulfill the call of God upon my life.
You're nuts. K-N-U-T-Z. You're nuts. God did not. God hates divorce. So He's not going to turn right around and tell. Here's one. This happened in a church I won't name. Possibly none of you have been in it. But the people on the worship team. This one lady was talking to another lady and said, "The Lord has given me feelings for the worship leader." And lady number two says, "What?" And lady number one says, "Yes, the Lord has given me feelings for the worship leader. And I'm supposed to go to him and ask him to have an affair with me." It's like, and you have been smoking, what? Crazy stuff. Goofy stuff. People believe they've heard. Now those are extremes, okay? When it's genuine, and this is why you have to go through the steps, you know, praying and asking God to help you understand it. When it's genuine, this is why it's important to put it together in some kind of documented form. Because He's given you revelation concerning His will for your life. Even if it doesn't make any sense at the moment, put the cart back. Even if you don't fully understand it, that's a word He's given you. And that's why, you know, we all, "Oh God, what is your will for me? I want to be obedient. I want to know the will of God for my life." Well, if He gives you personal prophecies, that's part of the understanding of His will for your life. If He says, put the cart back, and you don't put the cart back, do you understand you've been disobedient to His instructions? If Joyce Meyer had not put the cart back, her ministry would not be what it is today. It doesn't matter if you like Joyce Meyer or not. I mean, that's what happened. Put the cart back. So, has God told you to put the cart back? Whatever that means to you. See, by keeping these personal prophecies, here you have the Bible. And nothing is going to replace the Bible. But when God gives you personal prophecies, why would you not want to refer to them? If it came from the same source, it's just as holy. You're just not going to write another book of the Bible. This is for you. These are God's specific words for you. Though a prophecy may seem to apply to some future time in your life, I'm going to read this part again. But this, what I'm getting ready to read to you, in my opinion, is extremely critical to this entire lesson from the upper room. Though a prophecy may seem to apply to some future time in your life, God has given it to you now in preparation for that future time. Therefore, what seems to be more relevant to your future is just as critical for your present. Otherwise, God would not have given it to you. So, and I've seen this happen like in my own life, and I can't remember the specifics, a word that seemed like it's, you know, in the distant. But if it didn't apply to the now, he wouldn't have said it. That's just like, you know, the book of Revelation in the Bible, that applies to the distant. But it applies now. Because we know this time is coming, and we better be found faithful. Amen? So therefore, whatever word that you get from the Lord, whenever you get it, even if you just get one word, you know, like what we're talking here tonight, just get one in your entire life, that's okay. Remember, God will give words to you according to His will. Now see, I was raised in a church where this never happened. And some of you were raised in similar churches. How many words would God have given to us if we had only been in a church environment where the doors were open for the gifts of the Spirit? So that never happens. And we're pretty much left to our own devices. And we come up with our own teachings and doctrines and so forth. But when you're in an environment where the doors are open for the gifts to operate, these things can happen. Now, that brings up a question, so let's ask it and answer it. Pastor, I remember when you first walked into this building as the pastor back in February of 1999. It seemed like in those early years, there were a lot more words given to people. But over the last few years, it doesn't seem like there have been as many personal words given. Why is that? Well, I'm glad you asked. Number one, one of the many things that this ministry is about is teaching so that you can receive from God words on your own. You are not being trained to ride the coattails of a pastor or a guest preacher or anybody else. You're being trained to follow Jesus Christ. That's part of what this is all about. Also, the words that the Lord has given over the years, if you've received one, it goes back to, what have you done with it? Now here, what we try to do when a personal word goes forth, I try to find that on the master computer recording of the service, isolate it, highlight it, copy, paste, burn a CD of that word for you. Now when we have a prayer line, it's sometimes next to impossible to isolate, because I don't remember what every word is spoken to all the people, and regardless of who the preacher is. So sometimes what we do is we'll just make one CD of all the prophecies and it's like, here, you find it. You'll remember it when you hear it because it sticks. When you get a word, you remember it. You know what I'm saying? So you'll remember it when you listen to it, when you hear it again. But we try to do that. One of the things that we have not done consistently here because of a manpower issue is give you the verbal recording of it and the printed transcription of it. I mean, I can't do everything. I just don't have the time. So that's why we haven't taken it that far. The goal is to be able to give you the verbal and the printout so that nothing is left to you. You have it all right there in your hands. So we do give you the audio recording of it. And there have been times I know we've missed it and whatever, and just haven't been able to get it. But anyway, the bottom line is, what have you done with those words that you have received? And it goes back to, do you have access to them? See, God does not give a prophecy to somebody without wanting it to come to pass. That's His will, is for it to come to pass. But it's like He shared here, we have the responsibility to go back and to water it and to nourish it, so that it can grow It's seed sown into our lives, and it's supposed to grow so that it will produce its fruit. Whenever that is, at any point in time, whenever it is, just praise God, it's going to come to pass. We do our part, and that word is going to bear fruit. Praise God. So, that's all he gave me concerning this, but I believe this is going to help a lot of people when it comes to understanding this whole thing of personal prophecy and seeing these things come to pass. So, go ahead and stand up. The Lord says, you've heard this message tonight, so I say unto you, you'd better be sure you heard me before you act.